Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lynn Sloniker of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I am Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
Come listen to Catskill Cabin Getaway on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
That's the third Thursday each month.
Or you can listen to our podcasts. Just go to wgxc/something.
Catskill Cabin Getaway, I guess. I don't know. Let's check it out.
It's your soul. I got it down. They give you control. Head like a...
5.
Hello and welcome to the Thingularity Radio Program. Broadcasting live from the two-story fountain located in the vestibule of our palatial administrative facility. Hello, how is everybody doing tonight? Forgive the splashing, but the temperature is up there and we couldn't take it. We had to get into the water. Just how life goes. And somehow the electricity's mixing and everything's working. We're out, we're good. Brian, how we doing? We transmitting?
We got multiple streams doing weird shit.
Oh. Okay, but do they hear us?
Yeah, they can hear.
Oh, okay, perfect.
Awesome, excellent. How's everybody doing? Cody, how you doing over there?
Yeah! We're outside.
Outside is nice. Tom, how are you?
I'm glad it cooled off or I'd be in there with you.
He's our timekeeper for the evening, helping us out. Same Ben, here. How you doing?
Pretty well, yourself?
Doing all right. Ben is our resident pool boy. We have him to thank for this awesome fountain.
Pool boy and IT slave.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah, just don't mix them or you're going to end up with a funny hairdo.
There you go.
All right. Anybody have anything they brought to the table tonight that they want to talk about?
Yeah, but not right now.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm monitoring multiple audio streams.
Forgive me as I adjust it.
Why do we have more than one?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Well, that's good. Are we chipmunking?
No, we're good.
Oh, okay.
No, we're never going to chipmunk ever again.
We don't chipmunk anymore. We had an upgrade in equipment thanks to Brian.
Yeah, we got rid of that PC that was
with a broken USB bus.
That's going to be like an absolute emergency one day if we need to.
What, Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin. The transmitter. The old transmitter.
Marvin will be retired. We're retiring Marvin.
To the Hudson?
Another boat anchor. I think instead of Marvin making us sound like Al on a recommend, it made us sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
We were only transposed a whole step up.
Yeah, but that had to drive people batty, and we didn't even know.
But then it would black out every 15 seconds or so and then reacquire.
Oh, whatever.
Weird stuff.
Okay.
So the epileptics kept time.
Yeah. It would mess with the base of the
That
brain.
Is not true. We have no visual component to this this broadcast.
Nope.
Oh, man. How's the pool there, Joe? Swimming in the pool on the radio? It's pool radio, pool radio, pool.
Pool radio? Pool radio is awesome radio because this is awesome. I'm just splashing around. I'm making noises so that the people at home can understand what I'm doing and, you know, be jealous. For real, if you're awake and alive, you're in some form of cooling right now because that afternoon was atrocious. It was baking everybody. Oh, and now there's storms rolling through. I know up north we got lightning and all sorts of activity dropping on Albany, but we missed it.
Meteorologically, it looks kind of calm around us.
Yeah,
for around, I don't know, 10 miles.
What do you call it for Catskill? It's the...
force field?
Yeah, there's a force field here.
Well, meteorologically, it's called downsloping, and that's what happens in the upper atmosphere, but it's basically a force field that diverts everything to the north and south of us because...
It has a lot to do with the escarpment, like falling off the escarpment, and there's a different pressure change or something?
Yeah, as the pressure goes up the windward side of the mountains, which is most usually the west side, the air goes up, it loses temperature, it loses its ability to hold on to moisture, things get foggy and moist up at the mountaintop, that's why you get the misty mountain hop. And as the air flows over the mountain and then down the leeward side, it heats up and it's dry, so it's usually not dropping snow and or rain, which is why we don't have as much precipitation as Albany or even Kingston, New Paul's area.
Kingston gets hammered.
Yeah. Well, they don't have the mountains fully. They got the tail end of them, and everything coming up from the south just drops down there, and then not on us.
I mean, a good example of that is the large island in Hawaii. And on one side, it rains. It's an object example of what you just described.
Another good one is Death Valley. That's how Death Valley forms. It only gets that hot because it's in a valley after the leeward side of the mountains. So after the air goes up and removes all the moisture from it, it comes down the other side and compresses just like in a compressor, and it gets hot. That's why it gets hotter there than anywhere else. It's the compression of the atmosphere that's doing it. It's not like sunlight or anything.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Air molecule.
I'm going to assume my position over here in the command post where I can monitor the atmosphere conditions, make sure lightning isn't going to drop on us. We'll handle some rain. But if lightning strikes, folks, in the yard, you're going to hear us running for shelter.
You might not hear anything because the electronics could be fried.
Well.
From, you know, stray fields.
Okay, then it's going to be like one of those many nuclear... war movies where the person just dies on the end of the radio and you just hear the high-pitched whine. I guess we've lost them.
That's in the AM days.
Everything's digital now, so I think it would just cut off a stream and just be nothing.
Either works or doesn't work. There's no noise.
No analog.
I'll keep the normal people nice and comfortable as the shockwave approaches.
Wow.
All right.
That's dark.
It is dark. Look up. The sky's clouding over.
Oh,
the force field protects us from precipitation, but not the upper atmosphere.
Wow.
I know. I can't. I gotta be difficult. If I was easygoing, we wouldn't have a show.
These ants are going crazy. On my feet.
Well, move. Or.
No.
Grow accustomed to them. See, what you want to do is irritate them.
Yeah.
Get them to bite you, and it will toughen up your feet. And that way you can walk through the bushes.
It's just the fact of me feeling them crawling on me.
Yeah. Get
you like it.
Do it.
That was a horror movie. This one group of people disturbed an ant god, and their punishment was there was always an ant crawling on your body. Always. If you killed it, there was always an ant that would take its place. And the more you killed them, the more ants would show up. So eventually the guy's just crazy sitting in the corner going, if you let it just crawl over you, and you watch it crawl over like his eyeball and stuff, he's like,
then there's only just one. And I think that's a metaphor for a lot of people's lives.
Wow.
It's called The Persistence of Memory, and it was painted by Salvador Dali. And the little ants are crawling over the melted watch.
Ants in my eyes, Dali.
Ants in my eyes, Dali.
Oh, you got so many paintings. Is it going for sale? Okay, anybody, anything serious anybody has to actually talk about? It looks like the rain is not really going to be a problem for us.
I wish there was rain.
Why? Because it's practically drought conditions here? And
I don't know about practically. I'd say, hasn't it been declared for the Hudson Valley, or most of it?
I do not know that.
I mean, could have been. We've had, like...
We got a threatening phone call that, like, they catch you, like, watering your grass, they'll find you.
Really?
Oh, you got a phone call. Wow.
In the village,
so
yeah.
Is...
Okay.
All right,
the people
so
with the
water
landline,
restrictions
they,
in place.
They blast you.
But is it legitimate? Or are they just, like, eco-activists sending out the robocall to try to get people to not use water?
No, I don't think so.
You don't know?
No, I don't think so. That's a lot of effort.
Well, what about all the people that don't have landlines? I guess they're free to use their water.
Pretty much, right?
They're like, if they're not on notice, you know.
Nice.
Water everywhere, nor a drop too sprinkled on the lawn. Right next to the Hudson River. And there are water restrictions. I don't understand.
Well,
the reservoir.
The water that comes for Catskill does not come from the Hudson. It comes from the reservoir over on Schoharie Turnpike. And when that thing starts to dry up, they do not have the equipment to filter the Hudson River, which, because of, Pete Seeger's work, that thing has cleaned up a lot over the past several decades. But it's still got a little ways to go.
Yeah,
drinking's a pain.
You were just telling me that you would drink from the Hudson, or at least swim in it?
Swim in the Hudson.
You'd swim
drink,
in it?
No. Drink, I would drink, I would filter the water from one of the creeks nearby.
From here?
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's New York City. I mean, they get water that's completely unfiltered, shipped right down.
New York City gets water piped in from the freshwater reservoirs that are up
there. Yeah, man, they get the Ashokan.
Yeah. They get the good stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are all tributaries.
We don't have rights to that.
This is true.
We're only allowed out, like, City of Poughkeepsie, I'm pretty sure they take their water directly from the river. But
or,
they
or
have
from the Esopus. Do they?
I would hope that
are they passed by the Esopus.
I don't know.
I think they're passed
by
the
Esopus. No, Poughkeepsie's
Creek.
On the other side of the river.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Kingston might take them water from there.
Yeah.
But we don't even take our water from the creek. We take it from the reservoir.
So,
and that's why there might be a restriction.
In Manhattan, they're growing almond trees, and up here we can't water the grass.
That's right, because they have the water.
But why hasn't it rained? Where's
the
rain?
What's with the drought this year?
It should be jungly.
Decades.
Well, it's called weather, and it's going to happen where it wants to.
No, but do you remember droughts in other times of your life? Like, go back 10, 20, 30 years?
I haven't been alive 30 years, but...
Not that much. It's
same.
Generally wetter. Okay. Generally. But, you know, you're asking for my memory. And what good is that?
I'm going to go with my basement is not flooded this year, so I'm going to go, it has been very dry.
It's very dry.
There you go. Yeah.
That's empirical data. Yeah. Okay. We could actually have something charted out like no wet basement.
No wet basement.
If still was at 7 Hudson, I could chart it and be like, all right, how many times did it flood?
You know, come to think of it, neither has mine. I think mine flooded once this year.
Yeah, which is usually you're probably like, what, 3 times?
I'm going to have to start recording that. How many times a year it floods just to, you know,
We might be starting to see periods where it floods once a lot for a long time.
What
and
do you
then
mean?
Nothing like we are now.
Yeah. And then we get to the point where it floods,
so
and I desperately patch it up to try to save the water so that I have something to drink in the coming, like, bag of water.
Oh, no,
our tech's going in the pool. No, what does this mean? What does this mean?
That means our levels are good. Keep talking.
The VU is in the red.
Yeah, the VU's in the red.
Nope.
We sound clean
or
fine.
You gotta get back out, Brian.
That peak, no, like, What's this peak spot looking like?
Yeah, it's fine. It sounds good. I was listening to the air return.
No,
man.
It's fine.
Fine.
The compression will handle it.
Okay. When we're orange,
keep
it's good.
Your face in the mic and we're good.
Well, right, there you
I'm going to get in the water with you if there's somebody in the pool. So, all right, anybody want to talk about news? You want to hear me splash around nicely? What?
Yeah, I got some news.
Oh, you got something.
Yeah, bring it on in before I start talking about what's in the papers. The papers.
Actually, that was I was thinking about that one fizz.org article from Cambridge University is a group that was talking about it's not just climate, but how everything else affects it. Like,
not
harking
not.
Back to the Bronze Age collapse, how it's not just how hot it gets, it's not just how many things that happen, it's economics, new diseases coming up, new different kinds of things, and they all interrelate for this giant collapse vectors, and we're desperately uneducated on how it works because nobody's really put comprehensive studies into everything, how they interrelate.
Oh, we'll be educated. We will have social media to very precisely and in a high granularity fashion document the demise of said society.
I know, it'd be the most well-documented, highly technical.
Mad Max.
Yeah, but the libraries are going to be really hooked up. We're going to know exactly what we did wrong. And
at
we're
a
going
certain
to,
point, wouldn't that information sort of...
all those people.
Wouldn't this be sort of an involution of that information back onto itself, and somebody maybe comes up with an idea on how to slow down, reverse, or something?
Yeah.
Or a whole set of things.
It's called, this was your dry run. It's called a pandemic. The next one's going to start taking out whole generations.
Like smallpox?
Yeah.
Smallpox.
But better. Faster. Stronger.
Yeah, but they did like a study on those diseases. Like, if it's too lethal, it doesn't spread.
Well, that's the thing. You see, evolution is not for the fittest. Evolution is for the lucky. Things evolve because they're not better than their competitors. They evolve because they find a vacuum that needs them and they can fill. If you're a predator and you find a field or a mountain full of prey, you will expand, cover that, make generations, and your group will evolve more faster than the others. And you will fill that gap. That's kind of how that works. And I'm sort of missing my part. Oh, we were talking about people. That's going to happen to them.
What's going to happen to us? We are the people.
There will be individual groups evolving after the collapse.
There's definitely an interesting dynamic to be observed, where you have an organism that's overfit for a certain environment condition and then proliferates, you know, wildly.
Ben?
Sorry, that's a pool robot.
There's
Wait,
a robot.
You should shut off.
And it just took off. And I think Skynet's after me, guys.
Maximum overdrive! Maximum overdrive! There's a robot going nuts over in the corner. What's going on?
If you've actually watched this thing operate, no.
I'm sure.
It's no threat to us.
It's no threat to us. This is not Skynet, Cyberdyne.
Okay. It's not going to try to suck my toes into the pool filter?
No. Inadvertently. I mean, it's the best. I mean,
in a good way. In a good way.
In a good way.
It's a trained robot.
How do you know so much about me? Anyways.
Social media posts.
There's definitely an interesting dynamic, evolutionary dynamic of organisms finding places that they're overfit to outcompete everything else in. Like, say, the Asian, you know, those...
Carp?
Those multi... Well, there's that. There's also another number of other species, like the Asian beetle.
Ash
borer. That iridescent brownish beetle that comes in and eats everything.
The emerald ash borer?
I just said that? Don't think it's a...
It's the ash borer? But, I mean, the ash borer basically is going to solve itself because it kills all the ash
I don't know
trees.
If it's,
I think the principle
is
the same regardless.
Is the ash borer also invasive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is
yeah.
it just expanding its territory?
Well,
it's invasive.
That's what invasive means. Well...
Not really, because you know what? The Colorado potato beetle, which I've dealt with on my curcubits, that expanded its range during the 1800s from Colorado and the Midwest all the way up to New York.
Okay.
And it's a native to this continent.
To this continent, but not to this.
But the environment changed enough to where it could
propagate,
you know, proliferate in our
It's still an invasive species because it wasn't here before.
I mean, you can call it invasive, but it's literally, it's opportunistic like any other, like
look,
a human nomad.
This is a specification.
Right?
Bass and trout are invasive species.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, everything
They're not
is,
supposed to be here either.
Everything's an invasive.
So it's not necessarily bad, but some are bad. And the ones that come in and are so bad is because they're able to proliferate so quickly.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, the situation where something's overfit for an for a certain environment. So,
and then it takes off.
It eventually self-limits, right?
Yeah, because it eats up all of its food source.
Correct.
Or a predator comes along and finds it and then tells its buddies.
Hmm. Oh, there's wolves here.
Huh?
Here. Like
oh, yeah, actually.
Right, after you know, continued depopulation throughout the colonial
North of here, they found some. They're like, there's a wolf dog or something somebody shot. Some hybrid, and he didn't know what it was that until they looked at it afterwards. It was a.
I know that the coyotes and the wolves are crossbreeding.
Yeah,
so do interesting things.
Normal canids, right?
Yeah, they're called koi dogs.
Koi dogs, right?
Breed with the dogs.
Sometimes you hear them.
Yeah, no,
oh, yeah.
Yep.
That's scary sound. Those are actually ghosts coming after your soul. If you're out in the country and you hear that, it's not coyotes.
More likely pulling a possum out of
They're
its
They're evil ghosts.
A redneck banshee.
I'd believe that if you've ever heard a fox, like a fox yowling. Oh, my God.
Frightening?
Yeah.
There's a bunch around here,
but what
right?
does the fox say?
Awful noises. Like, awful noises. Sounds like somebody's, like, being straight murdered. And you're like, what is that? And then you see this little tiny fox run up and go, and you're like, what?
I speak loudly and carry a tiny, cute body.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, okay. What is that? And you're like, ooh.
Okay, I detect a lull in conversation.
I've also heard there's bobcats here and mountain lion.
I've seen lots of bobcats, but who does the mountain lion haircut?
I've seen one. So I know they're here.
Yeah? Okay.
They were driven to near extinction, and so their fear of humans is something like a human's fear of a snake or a spider. And I know that humans mean death, so...
I was going to say, it's really justified.
It's justified.
And so the DEC says, no, there aren't any cougars in this area, but in fact, I saw one, and it avoided me.
It was an
animal that could have easily, eaten me, avoided me because I'm a human.
Yeah.
Deadly. The most deadly creature on the planet.
Well, you say that, and I'm going to say for the safety of our listeners that if you happen to, I don't know, wiggle around like a wounded animal and run away, it might have changed his mind.
Yeah, in California, the mountain lions, they have a taste for joggers. Santa Clarita.
They are cats. They're cats. If they see something running, they will chase it and kill it because they're a cat. No other reason required.
Yeah, they'll try.
Interesting.
Down joggers.
They might not even be hungry.
And Boy Scouts too. Yeah, yeah. No, like I said, like just like a cat, they could just be playing with you. They don't care. They will rip your throat out and play with it. Like, look, string. that's what you are to a cat. String to play with.
You're a silly string.
And you know what? When you have a little tiny cat in your lap, it's the exact same dynamic. You're just lucky you're 10 times its size.
That's always why I wondered about Tiger King. Like, how did not more of these people be eaten?
How did not more of them be? Because they were very well fed.
Yeah.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's like guy that's like, yeah, I want a tiger in my backyard. And you're like, you've had a house cat, right? Like, that thing will straight eat you. And it's like, maybe 10 pounds?
If you don't move.
Waiting for the opportunity.
Yeah, if you don't move for long enough.
Yeah.
No, there is
the
a difference.
Bronx had a tiger in his apartment forever.
Oh my God.
Yeah, 10, 12 different. Years ago, they found they had to take it out.
Wow.
Domesticated cats are different.
In the projects.
Well,
how are they different?
The wild cats can't purr.
Well, that's a physiological thing, not a mannerism thing.
Well, no, it's a behavioral thing because the cat that's purring is making love, and a cat that can't purr just roars.
Yeah.
But they might make, grunting noises that signify a similar feeling.
I think it's a matter of attitude.
Purring is developed so that humans give it food and attention.
No, because there's other wildcats that can purr. I think the lynx, as I recall.
I think cheetahs as well.
And when do they
purr? There's certain wildcats that can purr.
No, they died out. They're known as the missing lynx.
Honk, honk. That's the clown nose. The missing lynx.
So far, all right, there's so the good lull. On the go pool ahead. Idea, gentlemen. Yeah,
give us something. Give us something else to riff on. Tom, you got anything you want to talk about?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Well, you know, I'm just a one-trick pony.
Do you want to talk about
my telescope? So,
do you want to talk about Shoemaker Levy?
Shoemaker Levy?
Yeah, it's on his shirt.
My T-shirt. This was the July 16th, 1994, the Dittos came into existence. It was Tom DeWitt and Beverly Botto, and we dreamed up this event where we became the Dittos. And that was, you could see in a telescope, even a small one, you could see this comet that had broken up into little tiny pieces begin to hit Jupiter. And if you look at this picture, it looks an awful lot like the sperm are hitting the big egg. That's essentially why we got married, you know. It just all was part of the cosmic thing.
For all we know, Jupiter was being seeded with amino acids and life.
Yeah, but it's going to go down and hit like a sea of hot, pressurized hydrogen. So
yeah, and you know what? Maybe it's going to form its own interesting type of life.
Well, the thing about Jupiter is that its gravitational tides warm the moons, so the moons actually could harbor life.
Europa's a good candidate for that.
Yeah, there are definitely possibilities for that over, you know, long epochs of time. But Jupiter itself is not going to harbor life. It's a gaseous planet. But I made a movie in which I imagined that there was a gaseous planet, and the life forms were all avionic. And then
sounds about right.
Yeah. And then there's a play by Aristophanes called The Birds that has a similar plot line where the birds are running the world. I recommend it. It's very funny. Aristophanes is a comedian of the Athenian period, about 400 B.C.
Would you recommend to read it in the original, the Greek?
You'd get the puns.
Okay. So you should read more that's not that before you read that, so you get the puns. Okay.
All seems right. like
Give
a long game.
Notes.
Huh?
This seems like a long game.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I don't know. Could it be that hard to learn? Our alphabet is derived from Greek, so...
It's quite a different alphabet.
Yeah, it went through a little bit of reworking since then.
Sure, there's no J and there's no Z, right? There's no...
The letters are quite a bit different.
Yeah. Like, the X actually is chi, so it makes a ch sound.
Hmm.
Yeah, the difference between the alphabets caused a delay in the appreciation of Greek literature. So it really didn't get translated into English until much later than the Latin literature. I'm reading about that now because it all came
first. The Romans translated the Greek into Latin.
Yes, they did. But
so it came to us through Latin.
Yeah,
right.
But that's true. Although there were certainly
all
some
of,
pieces
all of the
that were
learned
known.
In, you know, medieval Europe, they would learn Latin.
Yeah, but they were not interested in Aristophanes, for example.
No.
He was a pretty raunchy guy. One of his jokes was Zeus got angry at the humans and he warned them. He said, "I've already split you in two. If you don't, you know, shape up and behave, I'll split you into four sexes and then you'll never have any free time at all."
Seems like he's talking about himself, though, to be honest, with how much Zeus got around.
Yeah.
Well, that's his point. He's like, this takes up all my time, so I'll multiply you by four. Or two. Yeah, because it was already me dealing with...
Yeah. And that may have happened. In a certain sense.
Okay, well...
Sure.
I'm sure there's word geeks out there. That's why I let that go on as long as I did.
Oh, come on. Yeah, there's word geeks sitting right in front of you. Two of them.
I know, and that's why I'm like, okay, this can be allowed. How are we doing over there, Brian? He's crawled out of the swamp. I mean, fountain.
Crawled out of the fountain.
The fountain.
We've let it get overgrown. It's been a while since we maintained it.
Yeah, it was closed down during the pandemic. We're still cleaning up. We got an army of cleaners coming through. No, we're glad.
Robot cleaners.
Randomly
activate during a monologue.
There you go. Start doing this thing.
But they're all led by a team of illegal immigrants.
Wow.
So,
why?
Anybody feel that? That's the planet underneath your feet speeding up.
Yeah. By how much?
By a tiny, teeny, tiny degree that's only detectable by the atomic clocks we've had running since the 1950s.
So we're not going to fly off yet?
No. Not yet. But the thing is, ever since those clocks were started, through the decades, the planet's been slowing down. And we've been able to document that. And that's why we've been adding leap seconds, not just leap days. And that sucks because you have to manually go in and code that into whatever program or whatever clock is using you're using to keep time. So adding leap seconds is normal. It's basically you cue the whole system for a pause. It stops dead and then resumes for an infinitesimal amount of time that's only recognizable by a computer. However, now we're starting to determine that rotation of the planet, due to unknown reasons, is speeding up.
Arabons.
Say what?
Arabons.
Tom proposes Arabons. I propose that it's a dynamic system, and we can't completely model such a dynamic system as the gravitational interactions between all the bodies.
Okay, well, that sounds like the wuss's way out. Tom, give me an answer.
Wow.
No. Cody's absolutely correct. That is the standard model because we have the sun, the moon, and everything else interacting with it, and we're sloshing around in several different fluid dynamical systems.
And
he's right. We can't predict it.
We're also not really moving in a circle. Moving in a spiral.
Through space and several on many different axes. We're going around the sun.
And it's not a perfect spiral. It's an ellipsoid spiral.
That was what the Arabon theory was.
What's that?
Moving through dark matter, and the dark matter is decaying. And as the dark matter decays, the moon is moving further away from the Earth. And as the moon moves further away from the Earth speeds up, slows down in this dynamic method you're talking about. But what's really important here is modeling the decay of the dark matter.
Would that be decaying into dark energy, pushing things apart?
It's gravitational energy, not dark energy. It's
dark gravity.
Gravitational waves. So Penrose's theory is that the air bonds are very large. They're about 20 micrograms apiece. It's a particle. And they're decaying at a half-life of about 14 billion years. And when one goes off, it produces gravitational waves, which we can't detect easily because their wavelength is the Planck length. So that is an immeasurably small wavelength. But it's a lot of energy because 20 micrograms converted at E equals MC squared is like, would blow up your pool.
Well, it's a half-life, so you're only getting rid of 10 micrograms,
yeah, but
right?
80, no.
Or one arabon equals 20.
Yeah,
okay, gotcha.
Arabons constitute about 80% of all mass in the universe, and so they're going off quite a lot right about now because the universe is about 14 billion years old, so we're at the point where the air bonds are affecting such things as the overall traction between orbital bodies.
Well, that's better than the one theory I heard someone say, which was that the poles are melting and the water is now sloshing down around the equator, speeding us up. Which, if anybody knows any basic physics, that would cause the exact opposite to happen.
Yeah, you would.
That would be
up.
The skater spreading their arms out and slowing down.
Yeah.
So,
why,
I'm with Tom for so far.
Yeah, they don't understand sloshing very well, do they? Why don't we do a demonstration in Ben's pool to show how things slow down when you slosh?
So, yeah, computers are going to have to be dealing with negative leap seconds.
Is that going to mess with our WSJTX communications?
No.
It's not
why
gonna,
would I mean, good. Like, that's the other thing too. Like, if you're doing like Unix Epoch, right, where you're just counting seconds from 1970.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, it's a conversion problem.
He just dropped some slang.
Speaking of
right?
time,
Unix Epoch.
Speaking of time, we're past the half hour here.
You're listening to WGXC because I am slow and relaxing around a pool. This is broadcasting on 90.7 FM, Catskill, Acre, Hudson.
Oh,
music
crap.
For open, or radio for open ears. It includes music too sometimes. I mean, not everybody calls it music.
What did you say? With your closed ears? What?
All right.
Closed
on the,
minds? What? I missed it.
Closed minds.
Open mic?
Open mics, closed minds.
I have a opener on that.
Sounds like a couple of news stations I've been watching. All right, we got modular nukes being developed now. How's that sound, everybody?
That
sounds like a winner.
It's been in the works for a lot of time.
Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
I've been reading about that since, like, 2012.
Announced that it will be issuing a certification to a new nuclear reactor design, making it just the seventh that has been approved for use in the U.S.
Man, we're slow.
It's from a company called NuScale.
Yeah, we are kind of slow.
It's a small modular reactor
that can
be constructed at a central facility.
Wes.
Oh.
What's Wesley doing here?
Yeah. He
cool.
swims in my pool.
Oh.
He swims in my pool.
He just swims in my pool.
Swims in my pool, yes.
Okay. Nuclear reactors could be coming to your home
now. I kind
of
agree with
Brian.
But
what size is that? Is that like a megawatt? It's a tiny one? It's not the real tiny ones, is it?
It just says that it's a small reactor that can be constructed at a central facility and then moved to a site where it'll be operated. So.
Oh, it's a prefab.
It's a prefab. It's not tiny, but they could be made in mass. It could, and then once they're done that way, they get made cheaply.
Are they the little salt reactors? Or what is it
actually
doing?
No, I don't think it's necessarily.
I think they're water turbines.
I mean, it could be salt cooled. Like it could be using liquid salts as a heat exchange medium,
mm-hmm.
but probably not a fuel delivery.
Really pack them in the salt. And
right.
The salt's for cooling, isn't it? For like fail-safe cooling.
That's right. It won't explode like superheated water will.
It just blows out a plug and hardens up and it's done.
Yeah. It automatically melts its own safety device and falls into a safety pool and stays there.
Passive devices, best friend.
No!
Now, all I gotta say about that is now think.
Nukes are bad,
Think about all that salt sitting, molten salt sitting in a pool. And then it rains.
Okay, but the pool isn't exposed to the environment.
I know, but imagine if water was allowed into the. Obviously, something went wrong at the reactor. If water was allowed in there, that thing would explode like
steam
a
explosion.
Yeah,
but it would blow. But there's so many layers around that. That's not likely to happen.
I'm just saying it could explode like a bomb.
In the event of water incursion on superheated, molten salt. In the short time period where it hasn't dissolved yet, or I should say where it hasn't solidified yet. Yeah, I guess it could build up some amount of steam, potentially exploding.
That's why you don't put them near the ocean. I'm talking to you, Japan.
Yeah, but they require water cooling.
Having them near the ocean isn't such a terrible idea. Like, if you had them in...
Well, for those ones.
If you had them in Tunisia or somewhere around maybe the Moroccan coast.
The old style was not
desalination.
Why can't we put them on the bottom of the ocean? All the cooling you ever need, and you're never going to get hit with a tsunami.
Yeah, but, like, the other thing, too, is, like, if you put the radiation in water, it's far safer. Like, if you had the radioactive waste in the bottom of the pool, we're all okay.
Well, that's
on the side of the pool, we're all dead.
That's true.
That's why they keep it in water.
So why aren't we building nukes at the bottom of the ocean?
Because we would leave them down there, and they would fall apart and poison, and we'd forget about it, like we have the... thousands and thousands of oil.
Do you know what the ocean floor looks like?
There already is no plan for what to do with the spent, I put that in quotes, spent nuclear fuel,
that's
of which there
of
is 98%
it, or,
of
or
stuff.
Or you could say there never was a plan.
there still is no plan.
There already is not a plan.
Yeah, but that's future me problem.
Yeah,
that's the other problem, too. Like, if you look at the lifespan of the plant, the guy who designed it, the guy who built it, the guy who financed it, they're all dead.
Yeah.
And so it's not really their problem. I mean, like, that's money. It's a weird way to look at it, but if you look at some of the lifespans of these plants, everyone's dead.
So the official motto of the nuclear industry is it's not my job?
Yeah, pretty much.
So what you're saying is we need to weaken the shielding so that we accelerate that mortality process. That way it all just seems to look a lot better.
I thought the motto was, what could possibly go wrong?
Everything. Flipper babies, man.
A lot of the things you bring up are part of the reason why those 7-some-odd reactors that have been approved by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission aren't really going to get made probably until until maybe you're dead.
Yeah.
And you're dead, and I'm ready to kick the bucket. Which is screwy, because these things have been designed to take the waste and process it into something that is a lot shorter.
It's
just of a time span.
To get rid of the waste that we have
it's
now.
Kind of depressing.
Germany's already angry that they started spinning down nukes. They're like, no, we needed to focus on natural gas and other things, but no. Now they're...
What could possibly go
wrong? Now they're
wrong?
Like, let's stop decommissioning our 3 nuclear plants and bring them back online because we can.
Because we have to.
Because, you know, energy's good to have.
Oh, my God.
Well, good. You take the nukes, and then you take the heat storage facilities that Norway is developing, which are just giant columns of sand.
Heat storage?
Yeah.
They're
heat batteries. All they do is store heat, but they store it very efficiently. They just pipe the heat into it, it holds onto it, and then they redirect it back out into homes or industrial areas wherever they need it.
Oh, wow.
And it's sand, so the temperature's well above boiling. It's like, I think, over 500 degrees C.
Well, that's... How do they move the heat?
Pipes. Steam.
Steam pipes.
That's like
just like Con Ed's pipes on Manhattan. It's steam pipes.
That's actually like some solar generation facilities that I've seen, where it's like one big tower in the middle, and it's like directing mirrors all towards the center, the tower in the center.
Oh, and it melts the...
It melts molten salt. And they store heat at, you know, however much molten salt gets to, like, between 700 and 1,200 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, well over 1,000. Yeah, it gets hot. It gets super hot. That's the point. It stores the heat.
What? To say nothing of the birds that accidentally get in the way of these
windmills, too.
How do you move... What pipes are containing that heat? What materials...
What materials contain molten salt?
Yeah, at that... temperature.
Haste alloy N, which is a nickel stainless combo, I think. Haste alloy.
You're going to use them.
It's a particular metallurgical
you could use ceramic
combination.
If you really needed to or something like that.
Yep, ceramic.
But or you could moderate the entire process and pipe that heat down to your sand tower storage facilities.
Mm.
That store that up for the winter time and for whenever anybody needs just plain heat. I mean, that's like... If you could bleed off the heat from nuclear reactors into just different columns in different towns, you would alleviate the heat needs for a lot of houses, and that's a lot of natural gas being not used.
Yeah.
So it's a good idea all around. Combine all the ideas, and we might make it out of this.
Since we're on the subject, remember that document I sent you? This several hundred pages of
that crate full of Playboys?
No, the other one.
Yeah.
Why?
No, the one on the green county, the proposed green county nuclear
plant.
The proposed
nuclear facility. Oh,
that was from the 1960s, right?
70s.
It could have been the 60s.
Smith's Landing or over there by the cement tunnel or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know where that whole I don't know if it's abandoned anymore, but
I want everyone to know that you would
have... Barge, I think.
Well,
very cheap electric bills.
Or there was
your electric
three,
bill
no,
would be
like
half of what it is now if Olana wasn't so uptight.
And it would have been worth it. Even the flipper babies would have been happy.
No flipper babies.
It would be cool
because
if they came
all
back.
Of that would have gone downstream to Kingston and Poughkeepsie.
You know, it would be cool if they came back and reconsidered it with, you know, a smaller plan, because we can make smaller reactors now. We don't need to make such large sites or import or have such large roadways to transport the materials in.
I mean, we're still left with those weird, dodgy mountains. You know what I'm talking about? Like the ones that like never, you know, turn, you know, never lose their green grass.
Oh,
on them
the tailing pile. That right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a tailing pile. You keep them grass
think,
on top, and it doesn't.
I think the proposed site was just north of that. So those. A little bit, you know, a quarter mile north of the tailing piles.
Is it which one? Because there's like three of them.
I think there's
three plants.
The plant that's like right in Cementon. Right in Cementon.
Is it the one that's like covered in vandalism or like?
No, not that
the
one.
There's one that they knocked down. So the last operational, quasi-operational.
Yeah.
The okay. Lehigh.
Yeah, exactly. Lehigh.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So it was Olana that stopped? Oh, it was the view shed that stopped it.
Yeah,
before the argument. Before the, what was it? I forgot what their name evolved into, but the origins of the historical preservation that,
yeah.
you know, gathered around Olana.
Ku Klux Klan?
No!
No, no. No. The lefty version of it.
Oh. The Ku Klux Klan?
Talk like that.
I mean, the guys who live on Prospect Street.
So they got together and they were like, no, we got to put a stop to this. And, you know, I'm kind of glad because one of their access roads that they wanted to make was right through the new trail up in the Mwignac Preserve near Jefferson Heights.
Oh, the new one. Oh,
yeah. What?
Are you not allowed
to
talk about that publicly?
There's nothing there. There's
nothing there.
Yeah, there's nothing there. That's why it's just a really good trail.
There's nothing there.
There's these ghosts that sound like coyotes or the other way around.
There's nothing there. This is how the city has ruined things. Shut your mouth.
There, dude, I've seen so many people down there. It's not a secret.
I told you about it.
You didn't tell me about
you
it.
You just can't post it on the Instagram. The second it's on Instagram,
I knew about
it's
it already. Yeah. I just didn't go.
Yeah. I told you. Like, what?
Okay, even wait. People that are like, oh, yeah, come down by the river.
We'll
like,
check the chat history.
No, we don't have a chat history. Like the Secret Service, we erase it.
Just specific days.
Yeah, right.
I'm sending
for totally
to
random reasons. Just those 2 days. We don't know why.
So, how do we delete texts permanently? A lot of people are really actually wondering, like, why that's possible, because they naturally assume, why isn't all their texts backed up to the iCloud? Because they use Apple.
They use iPhones?
Yeah.
Well, then it is. Probably.
No, it's not. They go in and
in
turn
an
it
encrypted
off.
Form.
They turn it off. They're like, no, you do not saving. Back up to the cloud because this is sensitive data. They might back it up to their own server.
But they don't. I mean, it does seem weird because, like, let's say, like, in the financial industry, like, we had to basically run all our email through an archiving system.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, like, basically any electronic communication that happened between a broker-dealer and, let's say, their customer or client had to be backed up. There was nothing private.
Yeah.
Well,
that's how it's
that's
supposed
because
to
record
work.
Keeping has to be made. Yeah. They're the Secret Service, and destroying information might be, like, their natural MO, because if somebody was able to leak data, they would pretty much look inept, you know, like they do now.
Yeah.
However, it violates laws, and I'm sure they're not going to prosecute, but they can get up to 3 years in prison.
That was one specific thing. They were issued an order to preserve data, and then they destroyed it.
Yeah.
That's why they're being prosecuted.
The cover-up is worse than the crime.
They're going to just throw, like, you're going to throw some IT
like
guy under
kid.
The bus.
You lie about the bad thing you did, it's even worse.
They're like, I'm sorry, Steven. You didn't do it right. And they just throw him under the bus.
Why don't they just go to
it was
the
IT guy.
Why don't they just go to the NSA archiving facility out in Utah?
Yeah,
the big
Utah
black box.
Data center.
Yeah.
I mean, the UDC has an encrypted sniffer of that whole thing.
No, because then you have to admit that you're reading everyone's SMS
that's
unencrypted.
That's what I was saying, because you can't do that because that's information.
Well,
you reveal
do,
what your capacity is, and you can't do that.
Hi, the phone companies have that data, and they sell it to you. So
they have that data.
They
also
have the metadata.
They also have the unmarked room with no doorknob that's just for the government facilities.
And you're talking about the phone companies?
All of them. All telco.
Huh?
No, not here.
Not allowed to
I mean,
talk
they
about
could,
it.
No, like,
Like, we're too small. We
look,
don't have
it. Yeah, I don't
look
have
at this
that.
House.
Cool
look at this
enough.
Pool.
I'm not cool enough.
He knows not to self-sabotage.
No.
Yeah, we know what happens. Ben starts talking, and then a predator drone shows up over the tree line.
Oh. Yeah, but SMS, I mean, is, like, such a small... It's like, totally unencrypted. I mean...
anybody can read those.
Maybe they did. Is there some sort of
so it is at the NSA facility?
Probably.
In Salt Lake City.
It totally.
I think
it's totally been hoovered up.
I think between Apple devices, they have a encrypted thing where it goes through their servers.
I know Google does.
Yeah, they have that special
iMessage.
Text messaging.
Yeah,
that's
the iMessage is definitely point to point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it might. But it still can be hoovered
you
up.
You think
encrypted.
The Secret Service would be smart enough to use something like Signal?
iMessage just
something
good.
Like Signal.
Again,
no. Yeah, but the problem is like if you're using Signal, you're in theory supposed to keep the messages.
Uh-huh.
Well, Signal is also a centralized service, isn't it?
Is it?
I believe it is. As far as I recall, it's centralized just like Telegram is.
So what we're saying, the consensus is we're pretty sure it exists somewhere, hoovered up, probably encrypted, and it's there, and nobody's talking.
Yep. Whoever has the knowledge doesn't want to talk.
Because it would reveal that they have
That capability.
Yeah, but it also depends, like, how you send the SMS. Because, like, an SMS is technically tucked into, what the hell was it?
We know how they have the capability.
Yeah, I mean, basically the basic communication between the phone and the tower. So in, like, certain situations, like, maybe.
And then tower to head end, it's probably been encrypted.
Know.
Five
or
ways from
like
Sunday.
It goes from tower to Apple. Apple encrypts it and then shoots it over the internet, and then it ends.
And it comes out another tower.
I don't know. It's a very good question how they do it.
Okay. There's a lot of points in there where it could be hoovered.
And people will be finding out what the exact mechanics of it are. There will be a report.
Okay, cool. Because step one is you go to AT&T and you go, "Here's money. Give me all the metadata on these numbers. Thank you."
Yeah, and that's another layer of data too, the metadata.
And then you start your investigation there.
When were things
who
going
did
back
what,
and
when?
Forth? When did they peak?
What towers did this bounce through? Did we happen to have any of our WASPs up and running in that area that could have intercepted the cell phone data?
Did you say WASP?
What's a WASP?
What's
a WASP? I don't think that exists, sir.
Isn't it called
Stinger?
I was going to say, is it called Stinger?
Did I call it wrong? Did I say something wrong?
Stinger box.
The fake cell towers that police officers like to use.
This
that
Stinger box made by
to
Thompson
cell phone data?
Electronics?
Is it made by Thompson? Is it RCA Thompson?
Thompson, the company that absorbed Grass Valley and every other communication.
Look for an app called Snoop Stitch.
They made a wonderful DSL modem.
Thompson?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
We still get those back after, like, 20 years.
It was that good.
That good.
And it still works.
Ah,
what's your average life on a modem? Cable modem?
I don't know on cable modems. I know in DSL, like...
Ben's told us some horror stories about the things he gets back. they're like covered in goop and gunk, and they smell terrible.
That's what the stupid user did. I'm talking about like regular sat on a shelf and just ran till it died. Shelf life of average what? 3 years?
Three to five on a modem.
That's
they're
the
more prone to
most electronic.
They're more prone to get nailed by like a lightning strike. Just because the copper pairs, you assume, you know.
And that kind of damage is total. Like, when you see it, it's dead and it stays dead.
Smoke coming off it.
Stays dead, yeah. Or, you know, the power just pushes down onto your copper pair. Tree comes down.
Oh, yeah.
Anything downstream was done.
It's not like they're putting lightning arresters on those things.
They do, but...
They do?
Well, on my...
On every
end,
single
in the CO, there's lightning arresters. And
yeah,
it should work. And...
On your end, not on our end.
No, well, you get the ground.
Ground.
That doesn't count. When ground comes up by 100, 200 volts, it's not much of a ground anymore.
Yeah, well,
it goes everywhere before ground.
Yeah.
You like to think that.
Got about 5 minutes left, gentlemen. Anything you want to get in while we are still broadcasting live? I think we're going to run into after-show territory.
What are your hopes, for the future?
Oh, that's a good broad question.
I will discuss my hopes for the future in the vulgarity-laced after show. Let's put it that way. So wow. If anybody wants to know my thoughts on the future, you're going to have to stick around through the end of this show. Head on over to WGXE.org, click on Listen. Head on to the bottom of that list, and you'll see Makers Experimental.
No, it'll say Thingularity from Ben's Pool.
It'll say Thingularity.
Live from Ben's Swimming Pool.
And yeah. You click on play, and you will be able to hear us keep on talking sans FCC thumb up our bum.
Bum? What's a bum?
Bum.
Guy lives on the street.
The guy who hand trucks all the audio equipment up to Ben's house.
He's our bum.
Yeah, it worked pretty good.
You use that word
no,
yourself.
I came up to
Cedar?
Two streets up. I turn the corner and some lady yells out her front door like, "Hey, where you going?" Like,
that way.
Do you need a ride? No, I'm only going a block. I'm like, oh, well, people sure are nice up here in the Heights.
That's really cool.
Very nice.
It's also one of those days where you see somebody like doing stuff,
yeah,
you help out.
It's 98 degrees.
I hope the future looks like
110% humidity.
Hope the future looks like this. Clearing up.
Clearing up.
Becoming not so stormy.
Not so stormy,
not so
unsettled. Red.
I watched Alex Jones blow blood vessels in his eyeball. The future's
he does that
better.
Every InfoWars broadcast, man.
Yeah, but now he
screaming
did it out of fear.
His head off.
He did it out of fear.
Was this in court or on a show?
Court. On his show, nothing can be believed. Everything is completely fake. But in court, when he's under oath and he finally is getting put up against the wall, now we see some truth come out of that little piggy.
Little piggy.
Yeah, squeal for me. I want to hear you squeal. Yeah. Yeah, get him lower. Wait. That's something else. That's something totally else. That's
Christ.
Deliverance.
Do we have an outro track? You should be playing the outro track.
What? No.
We have the outdoor track. There's some stuff buzzing off in the...
Have you noticed that there's a lot less katydids going off?
I noticed there's a lot less bees.
The ones that go...
If anybody knows more or less bees.
You know those ones?
I had a ton last year. Like a ton of bees.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just
the
neighborhood.
I can say I have detected less katydids. I don't hear that quite as much.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah.
Balls. I mean, are you noticing it for the whole year or just for like the
for the entirety of the summer and the spring?
Hmm.
Yeah. Those are katydids, right?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're either katydids or cicadas.
That I think is a cicada.
Yeah.
I think.
Katydids are the ones that are rhythmic. They go in like a 5/8 time with some variations.
Yeah. The cicadas just keep droning on.
Right. But I haven't heard them very much. Whereas you usually hear them every summer.
That means they're all hiding in your attic.
No. They're not.
Stink bugs.
Stink bugs are out. They want to be out and about and breeding.
Yeah, they
right
seem
now.
To be. They do seem to be active and okay so far.
I had a praying mantis in the living room.
Oh, nice!
And then I was like, "Oh, he better go outside." So I got him on the end of a broom. I stuck him outside. I went back inside. I looked at him and I closed the door. 5 minutes later, somehow he was back in the room again. I don't know
what he, that's pretty good.
He like snuck under the crack or something. I have no idea.
It was not a he.
She, yeah, she. It was a big one. Yeah.
Are you sure it was the same one?
Is there a difference?
Yeah.
I know the males are smaller.
The males are dinner.
Are they like this tiny?
The males are dinner.
Are they like this tiny or like...
Thanks for the ride, Sonny.
Thanks for the ride, Sonny.
Not necessarily. In laboratory circumstances, praying mantises, the females tend to eat the males. But in the wild, they tend to mate at night. And in the darkness, the males usually get away.
Mm. Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
Not always, but they have at least in the wild, they have a fighting chance. But in a lab, man, they're dinner. They're just a snack. Because they got the lights on and the scientists don't know what's going on.
The lights are on. There's a...
Stuck in a cage.
Yep, stuck in the cage with them.
Not in Brian's apartment. They don't get away in Brian's
They don't
apartment.
Get away. Well, then
they get the broom.
Then it disappeared. I couldn't find it. I might have snuck back out. I have no
just
idea.
Just Houdini done.
It was, it was all magical. It started making me getting all superstitious.
Well, kids, it's just about the time to say goodnight.
We are running out. This has been the Thingularity Radio Program. Yeah. You have been dragged along with. Thank you for joining us at the two-story fountain at our palatial administrative estate.
With the giant dog floating.
With the giant dog floating.
It's good times.
I hope everybody out there is nice and cool. It seems to be cooling
right
off
now,
so,
yeah.
You know, it'll be time to open up those windows.